Hi, my name is Matt. I'm an English teacher, and this is a recording of a free lesson that I did recently on whiziq.com. We're using material from the Talk A Lot free spoken English course, which is a free download from englishbanana.com/talkalot. If you'd like to attend the next online lesson, please visit www.whiziq.com/Matt Perland.
Okay, so I think we're going to start then. This lesson is looking at political correctness. What is it and what's it all about, and the language that goes with it, which is very interesting language. So this is a worksheet about political correctness. It includes some information and an activity, a few different activities. We're going to look at it now and do some kind of activity online. And it goes with our topic about non-literal English, which is what Talk A Lot Intermediate Book 1 is all about. Non-literal English, when we say something but the meaning is hidden or is clouded, it's not literal, not dictionary English. And political correctness brings a lot of language that includes a meaning that is different from the basic meaning. Okay. So, why use politically correct language? I'm going to read this bit, the first bit, for us. Political correctness, or PC, is the abbreviation, is an unofficial movement that rose to prominence in the 1980s and early 90s. So it's quite a recent thing. Its aim is to promote equality in society and reduce discrimination towards people belonging to different groups. Among its various activities that aim to influence society and government, one of its strategies is to make taboo forms of language that potentially cause offense, generally speaking, among minority groups. On the grounds of, and so there's these different areas that we're going to look at: appearance, that how you look; ability, that's what you can do; age, so how old are you; gender; race; religion; sexuality; status, and a few other things as well, a few other reasons. Let's look at the word taboo. Can anybody give me a definition what it means? If something is taboo, language or something is taboo. So Julia's straight away saying prohibited. Something is prohibited, it's not acceptable in a particular group, maybe society or context. Offensive, says Merv. Yeah, something that we can't talk about, we're not able to talk about. Nadia's saying in her dictionary, avoid doing something or talking about a subject because people find them embarrassing or offensive. So there are lots of things that we could talk about in this lesson which are taboo. You know, we're not going to talk about, because in this group it would be taboo, for example. Okay. So in short, or in summary, politically correct language means words and phrases that we use instead of potentially derogatory or insulting language. Derogatory, when we say something which will upset or make somebody else feel smaller, insulting language. Yeah? Talk about something negative without causing offence. Okay, so that's really, in a nutshell, political correct language. We talk about something negative, a negative thing, in kind of a neutral or positive, even positive, way. We don't say the bad thing. It's taboo. So maybe it's neutral or positive. Okay. It's connected with euphemism, which is a kind of language that we're looking at on this course, on Talk A Lot Intermediate. Euphemism, a phrase that implies something different from the literal meaning of what is said, particularly when talking about subjects that are offensive or taboo. So this example might help. John is Ellen's boyfriend, okay, but she introduces him to her parents as a close friend because she doesn't want them to know that's her boyfriend. Yeah. So a close friend, this phrase is a euphemism, and it means, really, the real meaning is boyfriend, but she's using a euphemism to kind of hide the truth or hide the meaning. Okay. When I was studying this, I found two big areas of politically correct language. The first one is the kind of funny area, the funny language that we see sometimes and which makes us laugh. Politically correct language can be very silly. This is what I would call extreme politically correct language. Okay, and we don't use it in a serious way, but we often laugh about it. This is an example we looked at on Thursday. My little Billy isn't fat. No, he isn't fat. He's just big-boned. He's big-boned. You know, everybody listening knows that Billy is fat. He's fat. Yeah? But it's such a negative word. Maybe it's a taboo word for some people. And so we can use a euphemism or politically correct language. He's just big-boned. Okay, so it kind of turns something negative into a neutral phrase. We try to see something positive in something negative, but taken to extremes, political correctness can become a bit of a joke. So I've got this example here. And if I show you on this page, you can see this. You see the link. It's on YouTube. And it's the link at the bottom here. It's a comedian who's doing a character called Bernard Right On, which is a parody of a politically correct comedian from the 1980s. And you can watch this maybe sometime and see it. In the 1980s, there was a big wave of comedians in Britain who rejected all old-fashioned comedy. So everything that was sexist or racist or anything ist, yeah, was kind of rejected. And the comedians started making jokes about politics or something, anything that wasn't to do with upsetting minority groups. But at the end of the day, all humor needs some target, needs a target. And this is very clever parody of a comedian, PC comedian. This is an example of how we can laugh at politically correct people sometimes. Okay. And the second group of, or second area, is everyday politically correct language. So this is phrases that we do need to use in everyday life to avoid offending people or stigmatizing, making somebody feel small or feel bad because of who they are. Yeah. So this is the second part, which is everyday common politically correct language. Okay, so Nadia is asking about the joke. Yes, yeah, so in the first sentence, Nadia, he's setting up the joke, and the audience think that he's going to make a racist joke. But in the second part, in the second sentence, he completely does the opposite, and he says, "Wow, what a fine example of an integrated community." So this is in the UK, where we do have a multicultural society in many cities of the UK. Okay, so everyday politically correct language is language that we do need. For example, we're planning a special lunch for senior citizens next week. Senior citizens is politically correct language for old people. So in Britain we try to avoid saying old people. Yeah, old, it's a negative word. Old, somebody's old, you know, it's not as good as being young, right? So if we said senior, and then together with the noun citizen, then we're increasing the status of these people. So they're not just old people, like people which are old, you know, old things are not usually valued. But senior, it sounds really good, you know, it's like you've achieved a high status. So this is politically correct or PC language that we do need, or that we've developed. For example, politicians are keen to use it. They don't want to offend anybody with their language. In the last election, our Prime Minister, that he's still Prime Minister, was really roasted by the press for saying about a vote a bigoted woman. He called her a bigoted woman. So this lady had been speaking about immigration, that she wasn't happy about it, and certainly to my mind she looked like, sounded like a bigoted woman. But it wasn't PC. So it's not PC to call somebody a bigot, is it? And not only that, but the fact that he called her a woman, not lady, you know, lady would have been more respectful. So it's a kind of a minefield of language for politicians when they're trying not to upset anybody. Another example is gender neutral terms. Yeah. So in the past we might have had on our streets policemen or firemen. Yeah. But now there's a good chance that there'll be a woman as well, a lady, doing this job. So we have to say police officer or firefighter, postal worker comes into this area of PC instead of postman. When I was a little boy, we had postman, fireman and policeman. Yeah, it's not that long ago, but now we don't have any more. but it reflects the change in our culture. It's more, there are more jobs for women these days. Sportsperson as well, says Nadia. Yeah, so instead of sportsman, sportsperson. Yeah, that's a good example. So now we're coming to an activity based on the first group of language, extreme politically correct language. That's kind of the funny phrases. Let's imagine two situations. So you start a new job in a large office. The person showing you around describes some of the members of staff using the following politically correct language. Match each PC phrase with one of the franker meanings. Frank means it's similar to blunt. You know, it's people who are frank, they speak their mind. They say something how it is. They don't use PC language. Honest, and even maybe too honest. It's possible to be too honest, isn't it? So the meanings here, we've got deaf, ugly, drunk, old, fat, ignorant. These are blunt words which express something directly. But we've got some politically correct language as well, so we have to match them together. Number one, Paul isn't something. Paul isn't blank. He's just rather factually unencumbered. Factually unencumbered. What do you think? Type in the box. Fact. That's maybe a clue. Unencumbered means I don't have any of it. I don't have it. Unencumbered. I'm not burdened with this. So, yeah, Merv's got it. So, somebody is ignorant, an ignorant person, we could say he's not ignorant, he's just factually unencumbered. Okay. But like I said at the beginning, we don't use these kind of very extreme PC phrases. We just laugh about them. And we make lessons about them, but we don't use this in the UK, not for sure. Next one, Jean over there isn't blank, she's just horizontally enabled. Horizontally enabled. So, horizontally, it's this way, it's wide, isn't it? Yeah. Enabled, it's possible to be. She's, Merv's got it, can, Liz, fat. So she isn't fat, she's just horizontally enabled. And so we get some humour from this, because the difference between the PC phrase and the actual meaning is funny. Okay, number three. As you can see, Bryony is blank. But we prefer to say hourly inconvenienced. Hourly, what does it mean? Hourly is to do with years, that's a clue. So, Ken's got it, Merv, Nadia, deaf. Sound is to do with hourly. Hourly inconvenienced, not deaf, no. Okay. Number four. Tina is almost 66, but we don't call her blank, rather chronologically gifted. chronologically is to do with time. Nadia's laughing three times. Merv is laughing out loud. Yeah. I'm not old, I'm chronologically gifted. So it's turning something negative, old, into something positive, advantageous. You know, it's an advantage to be gifted, to be, you know, I have experience, wisdom. Yeah. Okay, next one. Tommy works hard, but has the tendency to get blank, or, as we like to put it, overserved every now and again. Overserved. So, where do you get served? At the bar. So, overserved, drunk, good. Liz got it. Merv, Nadia, excellent. So it's not my fault I'm drunk, it's just the barman has actually served me too many times. He's overserved me. Yeah. So next time you're in this situation, you could say, I'm not drunk, I'm overserved. Yeah. And so it takes away the responsibility from you to the barman, or bar assistant, that we should say. So Nadia's suggesting it's a kind of lying, but it's presenting the facts in a sort of advantageous way. Now we know why politicians use this kind of language, or PC language, not only so they don't cause offence, but also to create an image which is perhaps more positive than the real the real thing. And Ken saying because they're somewhat manipulative. Last one then. One might devise some cruel nicknames for Maggie, but I prefer to think of her as visually challenging and not blank. Visually challenging. If somebody is visually challenging, visually, then we're looking at the appearance, face maybe. Ugly. Yeah, everybody's got it. Good. Shazaib as well. But you can't say this about somebody, oh, she's ugly. And we shouldn't say that. It's so negative. But visually challenging. Our meaning is hidden then in the language. Shazaib has said unsightly. But this is very negative, isn't it? But visually challenging, it's more, it's still a little bit negative, but it's more neutral. Okay, so I've chosen 6 examples there. And the second situation, as well, there are 6. So just imagine then your job doesn't work out, okay? After about 6 months, you begin a new job at a furniture store. The person showing you around describes a few of the people who work there, using very direct language, insensitive language. Now, you're so used to PC language because of your previous job that you try to correct your new colleague. Nadia is asking about, will people think I'm crazy if I use these phrases? Yes, so that's what I said. We don't use these phrases. We don't use these phrases. We just know about them, we laugh about them. But maybe in American English it's more common, this kind of PC language. But later we're going to look at the second group, which is PC language that we do use. That we do use. So first of all, we're having a bit of fun with this one. And then we're going to look at some actually more useful PC language that we do need. Okay. That's what we're doing. Good. So, number one here, when you say that Jonathan is lazy, do you mean what? Which of these terms, PC terms, is to do with lazy? So, Merv, Nadia saying F. Okay. So, the answer here is D, motivationally deficient. I'm not motivated. I have deficiency in my motivation. I'm not lazy. I just haven't motivation. Yeah. Good one, Can. Let me just say for the podcast listeners what the options are. A, it's terminally inconvenienced. B, an individual with temporarily unmet objectives. C, residentially flexible. They even sound funny, these phrases. D, motivationally deficient. That's lazy. We've had that. E, potentially good. And F, involuntarily leisured. So it's usually an adverb and an adjective together that makes these funny phrases. Number two, I prefer to think of your former colleague, Mr. Hoskins, as blank rather than dead. So which phrase is to do with dead, being dead? Dead person. Yeah. We can get it maybe from the word terminal. Yeah, Ken's got it. Shaz, Liz, Nadia. Terminally inconvenienced. So dead is rather a negative word, isn't it? And I would prefer to say he's terminally inconvenienced or terminally challenged. Or permanently, you know. Permanently inconvenienced. Could be. Forever. Okay. Number three. Instead of labelling your boss a failure, you should say that he's what? Which one is to do with failure? So, not a failure. Ken's saying E, Merv, Shazib, B, Nadia, B, question mark. So I'm not a failure, I'm rather an individual with temporarily unmet objectives. So I will do it, I will meet the objectives, but at the moment, temporarily, they are unmet, not failure. So it's looking for the positive inside something negative. Okay. So optimistic, says Merv. Yeah, especially to do with the dead person, that's optimistic. Four, I'm sorry, but calling that person who asked you for change a bum isn't very kind. A bum. In English, maybe we could say a tramp. Could you perhaps refer to him as blank instead? Bum, it's somebody on the street, Nadia, who will ask you for money or for, you know, 10p for a cup of tea. It's American English, bum, but English tramp, beggar. Yeah. So what do you think? So don't call him a bum, rather somebody who is, Merv's got it, Ken's got it, residentially flexible. So residentially, it's to do with housing, isn't it? Residential. Flexible, you know, you can choose. And so it's not a homeless person, it's not a tramp or a bum, but somebody who can choose where they want to live every day. Residentially flexible. But this is extreme PC language. It's funny one. Maybe some people do use these phrases, but it's a question mark. Is it better to say this than just to say he's a bum or he's a tramp? He's a homeless. Yeah. Or is there a middle way? Is there a middle kind of phrase or term that we can find that means the same thing? Yeah. Number five. I believe that instead of considering Larry pure evil, we should think of him as what? Pure evil. So this is optimism, isn't it? Merv's got it. Ken, Ivan, Liz, Nadia. So somebody's not evil or bad person. Bad person or evil, it's very negative. Potentially good. So, you know, we can believe everybody has potential in life to be good. Yeah. Don't write off somebody. So, phrasal verb. Inherently, so inherently evil would mean that they have no choice. They have kind of destiny to be evil, but you might believe people can all be good. Anybody can be good. So it's optimistic language, isn't it? And the last one we've got. So I wasn't unemployed for 2 months. I was simply involuntarily leisured. So it wasn't my choice, involuntarily leisured, like I was forced to have free time. And we've got some more phrases for unemployment, for homelessness, coming up in a minute. Okay, so this is an activity you could try with your group if you want, or if you're a student, show your teacher. I'll give you the link for this PDF now, and you can get it straight away downloaded. Okay, so we're still looking at the funny language, PC language, and on this worksheet there are many examples. It's about 8 pages long. So we're just going to fly through it now, have a quick look at it, point out a few things. On the left side it's language which is blunt or frank, direct, and the other side PC phrases that are too extreme. So if we use them, maybe we'll get people will laugh instead of taking it seriously. So, have a look at this. Any examples here? We've looked at, for example, old, chronologically challenged, or experientially enhanced. So, they have a greater experience of life. It's something positive. Fat person is a person of substance. Yeah. A person of substance, somebody of substance, but literally of substance. Ugly, somebody who is facially challenged. Or maybe you're short, vertically challenged. Perhaps you have a large nose. You haven't a large nose, you're nasally gifted. Nasally gifted. Nasally is to do with nose. Maybe you get into trouble and you go to prison, but you become a resident at Her Majesty's pleasure. So this is we talk about people in prison in the UK being at Her Majesty's pleasure. That is the part of the Queen's justice system. Okay, Nadia, I'm showing this page. Yeah. But we need to move on, I think. Somebody who's dead is not dead. Biologically challenged. Yeah. What about some more funny ones? You know, it's not a failure, it's just a deferred success. Yeah. I think this was a real phrase from a politician. I just forget who. It wasn't a mistake, it was an inoperative statement. So the statement wasn't operative. Yeah. Can Her Majesty's pleasure means to be in jail? Yes, that's right. What about this one? To be not a housewife, but a domestic engineer. Or we start to get into crazy territory when we think about the city of Manchester in England changing to Personchester, because it's not politically correct. Why should it be man? Why not woman? We can get really extreme. Homelessness, mortgage free living. So that sounds good, doesn't it? Of course it's not good, right? Somebody who's clumsy. They're not clumsy, they're uniquely coordinated. You know, this lesson isn't boring, it's differently interesting. Differently interesting. So remember that next time somebody says that you are boring or that your lesson is boring. Yeah. Sometimes our newspapers in the UK get really upset about PC language and things maybe coming from Europe, from the European Union, which are too extreme and too PC. Like, we have a song for children called Ba Ba Black Sheep, Have You Any Wool? And it's a nursery rhyme. But in some nurseries now, we have to sing Ba Ba Green Sheep to avoid causing any offence. Yeah, we can't say white sheep because that would maybe biased towards white people. We can't say black sheep, but there are black sheep in the world, you know. But there aren't any green sheep. Yes, you can download this now, Nadia, straight away. It's there. So this is the funny side of it. I'm not unemployed. I'm just engaged in an orderly transition between career changes. Yeah. It's all about what we say and the impression that we give, whether it's positive or negative. Yeah. Okay, let's go to... I want to look at the more serious side, but really you should download this worksheet and post it. Yeah, post it anywhere, that's fine. And there's a lot to take in, there's a lot to look at here, but we're just flying through it now. If you're online, listening on the podcast, maybe download it, okay? So here is some common politically correct phrases. So this is common stuff now that we've accepted into our everyday vocabulary, and we use to replace language that might cause offence or incite hatred. We have to be careful what we say. You know, in London there are 300 different languages. There are people from all nationalities there, and in all our big cities we have multicultural cities now, and so we need to be careful not to cause offence to anybody on backgrounds of appearance, race, gender, ability, and the rest of it. You know, this is language that we do use and that we do need. So, just some examples here. So we can't say somebody's fat. It is offensive now to say fat, but maybe overweight, big. We talk about children having puppy fat, so they're not fat, but they just have like a puppy, which is kind of cute, isn't it, puppy? I don't know the difference between obese and overweight, but obese, it's quite, you know, many people are now classified as obese, but I'm sure they think of themselves as overweight rather than obese, because obese is such a negative thing. Yeah. So to do with ability, you know, in the past, we might have said someone at school was simple, or just stupid, or dumb, or educationally subnormal. You know, that's not a nice word, is it? Subnormal. Now we could say somebody, a person with learning difficulties, special needs. And the emphasis is on talking about people, not just categorizing them into groups. So, you know, we can't say retarded people or crazy people, but, you know, perhaps individual with a mental illness. It's more PC, but it's more pleasant, you know, it's kinder to say that. It's not derogatory. Somebody who's deaf, hearing impaired, blind, visually impaired. We looked at senior citizen instead of old person. You know, we might say older person. So they're older, it's comparative form. They're not just old, as in we think of, you know, an old car, for example, it's really past it. Think about the term for an older person on the computer. It's Silver Surfer. Now it sounds really good. It sounds really cool. Gender. So this is a big area. We can't say policeman, fireman, chairman. We say chair. Doesn't have to be a man. Yeah. We don't say manpower, human resources, or right-hand man. So the word man is kind of dropping out of our vocabulary due to equal opportunities. Yeah, loads here to look at, and we're just touching the surface now, but we could go on for another hour, and we get into race as well. So there's some examples here. We don't say whites, you know, white people. Caucasian is a euphemism, if you like, for white people. We don't say someone is blacklisted. We don't use the word black as a negative. The black sheep of the family. It's an outsider, for example. Blacklisted, banned. So, yeah, we've got the example American Indians, and we would say perhaps Native Americans. But these, especially the race term, racial terms, are really open to question, aren't they? Really controversial. This is one which I'm interested in. to do with religion, we don't say Christmas, we say holiday, happy holidays. Now this is quite common, isn't it? But it's still Christmas. Winter festival, winterval. So in some parts of the UK where some big cities where the kind of Christian religion is in the minority now, we don't have so much emphasis on Christmas. Yeah. It's more to do with holidays or festival. Okay, lots of stuff here, but this is the real language that we use, and so this is the real stuff. We looked at the funny kind of politically correct language, and this is the effect that we do have some real language as well. No, we don't talk about a mistake. That was a mistake. It was a learning experience. Maybe for some people that's funny, but it's more positive, isn't it? If you fall off your bike and hurt yourself, it's a mistake. Yeah, it's a mistake, but it could be also a learning experience. Yeah. Also, politically correct as a term is now seen as negative. There are lots of websites against political correctness, and we might say instead culturally sensitive. Yeah. So it's a good area to study. It has a funny side but also a serious message. Yeah, broken home, it's negative, isn't it? If something's broken, we might say dysfunctional family. So what could we do for further study? There's loads that we could do, but think about it in your culture. What language do you have that is PC? How politically correct are you, your workplace, your school? And you could try to build your own phrases. So I want to show this really quickly and then we'll finish. On this page we can start to build a PC phrase. So we need an adverb of viewpoint, which is usually an AL adjective. For example, biological, right? Biological is adjective plus ly suffix, then becomes biologically. And so we need to take the first part and add it to something, to an adjective. For example, biologically challenged, biologically impaired, inconvenienced. You know, I might say of today our Prime Minister Gordon Brown, and I hope he will stay, but I could say he's politically inconvenienced at the moment. Yeah. It's a euphemism. Yeah. Behaviorally inadept. It's for rude. Yeah. Says Merv. So you could make your own examples here. He didn't lose his seat, but he's looks like he lost his job as Prime Minister. But we don't know yet. So Charles Ives got a good one. Passed away. This is political correctness for dead. Yeah, but we use it. It's useful one. So it's in use. Okay. So for example, we've got here at the bottom. Somebody who's afraid of travelling by boat could be nautically challenged. Somebody who's lost could be geographically unfocused. So you need the first part, which is an adverb with ly, and then you need an adjective at the end. So makes a PC phrase. You could get your students to do it or encourage your teacher to do it. And here are some websites for more information for further study. And this is the YouTube video. So it's a big area. We don't want to cause any offence. I hope I haven't caused any offence today. Yeah. And I think we'll have to finish there. It's just being aware of what people are saying and how it can sort of hide the meaning of what they really mean. Yeah. So that's how you can download this. Don't forget you can watch the video. I hope I'll see you on Thursday, on this week, and on Saturday. So Thursday should be 8:30. That is Central European time. And Saturday the same time. So I'll post this. I'll post the lessons. It's a lot to take in today, but it's maybe a place to start for some people. Okay. So thanks a lot for coming here today. Thanks, Shah Sahib. It's thanks for everybody taking part. It's great to see some enthusiasm in the lesson. It's super. It's really good. And you could study from this kind of topic for 1 year, like Nadia was saying. So Ken was saying it is not an indifferently interesting class. So yeah, you've got it. Adverb and adjective, and it's really fun. But also then that serious side to it.
Thanks for joining us today. To download more free lessons and all of the Talkalot materials absolutely free of charge, please visit englishbanana.com/talkalot.